Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Woo! Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Well,
hello,
running
mate.
Commentary. And
yes.
Listen carefully, dear listener, you'll find that we are not running.
No. Oh, God. Bit of a calamity. We're in my back garden. Mm-hmm. So never a good sign.
No, it's not. Well, it's a lovely garden, but still.
Yesterday, I've been in a really good place with the old Marathon des Sables training. I'd done like 6-hour run with.
We're kind of exactly what, 2 weeks away from the start line here.
Yeah, we're about sort of 10 days away. I've done a 6-hour run with weighted rucksack. Felt great. I'd started to do loads of hill sessions. I'd been doing things like running to Ali Pali and doing like 6 reps up the big hill in Ali Pali, then mm-hmm. go to Muswell Hill and doing 4 up there. Do you know what I mean?
I was
in Biso. And now everyone thinks, oh, but you push it too far and you had an injury. No, I've had the most ridiculous accident. I was running yesterday in Highgate Wood. And I just had the feeling when I was setting off, I thought, I haven't fallen over for an awful long time. I don't know if you ever get that feeling.
I just
haven't fallen because I've been paying attention to where I, you know, because there's loads of routes around the heath and around the Highgate, and I've been really, use that word, mindful about, you know, that moment to moment where you're putting your feet thing.
Yeah.
And feeling great about it. And but I wondered whether I was tempting fate even having that thought. And then...
There's the kibosh, that thought.
Yeah,
the
and then I was running through Highgate Woods, and I basically got run over by a couple of dogs. And that's happened before to me in Highgate Woods. Just 2 dogs just came from nowhere.
And got under your feet.
Just ran right into my lower legs. I think you're more susceptible to it because you're running as well. It happens
so
quickly.
Yeah, they're excited. They're not looking. Like
and also, you're literally off the ground, which makes you a bit more unstable. If I'd centered myself,
it's like a tackle, isn't it? Like a dirty tackle.
Yeah, I thought I'd have been okay, maybe, but I just didn't have time because they were very excited, chasing after each other.
I suppose also if you
and they run really quick,
you kind of you get whipped down as well. Sometimes you get that. I had that. We ran over. I didn't hurt or anything. But do you remember I went down somewhere recently and it was like a. It's like a fulcrum, you know what I mean? You actually hit the ground harder than at falling speed because you get whipped down at the ground.
Yeah, and all, it felt like that, yeah. And also because of the weighted rucksack as well.
Yeah, right.
It felt like more vicious.
You're top heavier.
Yeah, and so I landed hard on my shoulder. I was on my back like a sort of beached beetle, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuck to the rucksack, tins of tomatoes everywhere. You know, it wasn't uncomedic. I did swear loudly on my way down.
Dog owners to be seen?
Yeah, they came and sort of apologised. I mean, it's done then, isn't it? It's too late then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I'm not going to go in too heavy on them. Accidents happen, but they'd obviously completely lost control of their dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's done then.
And dogs harmed? Were any dogs harmed during the making of this podcast?
No, they were absolutely fine. The dogs were fine.
They were laughing.
I doubt they've given it another thought. Yeah. I don't think they've thought about it since.
No, it's selfish.
And
So you hit the ground hard, soft, muddy.
Hit the ground hard.
Where were you in the woods? Were you
just when you go into the woods and you turn left?
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
I was on that bit, so it's fairly a little bit hard.
It's a solid path.
And I sort of gathered myself a bit and realised I couldn't run on because just my shoulder just hurt too much. I was in a bit of shock, and then so I had to walk home. And then I got home and just gradually realised that it's getting more painful and showing it to people and it had swollen.
Mm.
And then I went to A&E. They took an X-ray. I knew it wasn't broken. Nothing's broken, but I feel like I've torn it. I feel like I've got a sort of... I've done a bit of research about it. I think it's a rotator cuff tear in my shoulder. The whole thing... I can't lift my hand up.
He's demonstrating now. Don't.
I can't lift my hand over my head.
Yeah.
So it just feels like something's torn.
Yeah.
Because obviously that should be quite easy.
Yeah, yeah. You just did it with the left. It was easy.
The left easy. The left
easy. Smashed it.
But I mean, it's a farce, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a farce. So, you know, in 2 weeks' time, I'm meant to be doing the long stage of the Marathon de Sable, which is like 52 miles, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could just about manage the run, I think, but it's just the weight. It's just the rucksack. It's just, I don't
right,
know.
Right, so
I don't really know what I'm going to do, really.
Is there a cut-off time where you're going to make your decision where you might be better? I mean, the thing is, you're moving towards it. You're in a holding pattern to go, aren't you, from here?
Yeah, yeah. And also, there's loads of stuff to sort out if I'm going to do it. I still need to get food.
I know we were talking about this last time. People make a fuss of it, but it is hard. It's really hard. You've got to be peak.
Yeah, I don't want to arrive injured.
No.
I don't mind getting broken there, but I don't want to arrive broken. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only that, there's loads, you know, I've still got my food to buy for it. I've got to get gaiters on my shoes. There's loads of stuff to do every day from here on in.
What does the doctor say? Have you asked any experts?
He just thought it was ridiculous. I mean, the doctor thought it was absolutely absurd. But, I mean, you know, that's the guy at the hospital.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the... I'm going to get an appointment with the GP. And I need to maybe shell it myself and get an MRI and just work out exactly what's exactly wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But doctors, they're not going to think it's a good idea anyway, are they?
No, that's right.
But
if you fall over and hear yourself running, they say, stop running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not going to be into that. Which I get, you know, but it's like, so yeah, so I'm sort of stuck, really. I sort of don't know what...
You're in a limbo, and the limb in the limbo is your arm.
Yeah, and I'm in the limbo.
Yeah. Well, sorry about it.
Yeah, it's an absolute mess. But listen, I need to go to the toilet, actually.
Oh, okay, we'll take a break while I consider what you just
consider.
Said. Leave those behind and leave it recording.
Help me with your wonderful cords that I've just noticed you're wearing. They're cool, man.
Oh, you'd like these because they're
I like those.
Well, they're like your velour type thing.
Yeah, they're lovely.
You don't get to see me in day wear, do you? It's a shame you weren't on mic for what your what it sounded like when you put your coat on just then. Put it this way, dear listener. He didn't sound like he was in peak physical.
But there was
a lot of sharply drawn breath between teeth.
Feel the weight of that.
It's really heavy.
So that's what I've been wearing.
That's about
7.5 kilograms. It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a weird weight because it's all tin, so it sinks to the bottom. So if you actually... do it, it would be more evenly spread. But
I'm actually familiar with that because I quite often carry the heavy stuff in the rucksack when I run back from the supermarket.
Right, yeah. And it's not...
and it changes everything.
And
it makes you top heavy. I mean, it must have made you exacerbated your fall.
Yeah, but it changes the dynamic of running. But it's a shame because I was just getting... because I've been doing every run with a weighted rucksack and I'm starting to get used to it. It's something you can get used
just
to.
Just feeling like that's
and
what
starting
you're
doing, to like warming up for the first 25, 30 minutes and then starting to just feel natural with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
this is new news. I mean, it's yesterday we're talking about.
This happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a...
Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you think you're going to be able to do it? I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know
how quick the body recovers.
I think you just lately told the world, and I think that you'll be getting a lot of good advice from everyone online, but I think that they'll be like doctors. They'll tell you you shouldn't.
Well, there's been so much advice throughout, and the whole journey of me doing it has been a sort of thing of slight ambivalence on my part.
Yeah.
But I'd got really into it. I had really committed to it.
You'd really
come
around
to the
idea.
And I was really loving it. And I was loving feeling that strong And I was looking forward to, I was just looking forward to every aspect of it and the challenge and meeting people in the tent.
And in many ways, you are still that strong. You know, it's a specific...
Yeah. It hasn't just gone.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I feel a bit broken, you know. So I think I'm still a little bit in shock and still struggling to think rationally about it. That's how I feel, really.
It's very new news.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So, I mean, and there's some people like, oh, you're recovering a week, you'll be fine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you Google it, some people say it. If you don't do anything to it, you never get your strength back in it. It's one of those, it's a funny little thing, because the shoulder's quite complex. There's so much going on in your shoulder. And it's a bit weak, that right-hand side anyway, because of a football thing that I had from years ago. I don't know, it just feels very tender.
I was watching a Disney film and I hurt mine once. I was watching a classic Disney film, the one with Let It Go in it and everything, and apparently it's a common thing. I got a frozen shoulder.
I wonder where that was going.
I think we all saw where that was going.
So that's where I'm at. Where are you? I feel like I'm raining on your parade because you're pre Brighton.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm getting my head around that as well. It's funny. I did a parkrun on Saturday, and this is nothing, you know. But
it wasn't
either. You know, he's talking about falling over. When have I fell over? Because there was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, when I kept falling over?
Mm.
But mainly because of mud, I think.
Yeah.
But I slipped in the first 10 yards at parkrun the other
day.
It was very slippery in that where you run across the grass to get to the track at Highbury.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa! And I kind of kicked myself in the other leg and thought, I'm going to hurt myself here.
Right, yeah.
It was exactly that
thing. It's quite
dangerous
because there's other people around as well.
Yeah, that's right. And it's quite pothole-y. It's a bit of a challenging beginning, which is actually quite good in general because it puts the brakes on a little bit right in just for the first 100 metres.
Yeah.
You know? And... But I just thought exactly that. I thought, great, if I hurt my ankle now, I can't do the marathon.
Yeah.
So I focused up and carried on.
Yeah.
And then I got to the top of the hill there where the toilet block used to be, and I turned an ankle on the path. I was like, whoa! I was like, oh my God. Johnny, God, just careful! And I thought to myself, these things happen in threes.
Yes.
And also, you know, you fall over and you fall over again. That's what we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And I did one of those ones. There was a third one. It was quite a lot later on. And I did that thing where I misjudged a bump so that I kind of like did a kind of stop. My foot kind of just caught the flat surface. And I was like, and I thought, there you go, that's three. I stayed up, on we go.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
So it's slightly less dramatic than your story, but it was...
No, but you got through it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And how are you feeling in your taper?
Yeah, good. I mean, I did... That was parkrun on Saturday. Yeah. It's Tuesday now. I ran a quite willfully gentle six today.
Yeah, yeah.
And
nice.
I got new shoes.
Nice.
I looked at the old Vaporflies or whatever they're called, but they're £300, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the ASICS Metaspeeds that I got were a bit less than that, but they're still way too much money.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I just thought, I can't do that.
I
can't afford it, and I don't want to do that.
Yes.
So I did the opposite, and I got some, you know, shoes exactly the same as my shoes, only new.
Yeah, nice.
And I ran in them today, and they were like, well, lovely. I get to wear new shoes on Sunday.
Yeah, that'd be
and
great.
I got some really nice, I did a post the other day saying I've been with Julia and everything, I've been distracted and haven't been fundraising. And loads of people sponsored me and sent nice messages. So that's quite enlightening. And I just got the details about the gig and the accommodation.
Right.
So it's there, it's happening, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel good. The main, most challenging thing I've gone through is that I've, the last couple of weeks, I've been having a little bit of beer every day.
I saw every day. Well, I noticed the post the other day saying, and here's to a week of abstemiousness. It felt like.
There was a couple of weeks there. It's kind of lost in the mists, really. But there was a couple of weeks there where I kind of really nailed. Just drinking a couple of days a week.
Yeah.
But then when Julia went to hospital, I thought, ooh, I'm stressed, and I let myself, you know, basically got in a habit of going, it's the evening, here we go.
I get that, yeah.
And I've done it, and it's sort of the holidays, and that's been, so for probably about a fortnight, I haven't had a day without lager.
Right, yeah.
And probably haven't had a day, you know, it's quite a sensible amount, not necessarily loads.
Yeah.
But not... None.
Yeah.
So, I thought, well, I'll stop at the weekend. It was Easter, so that includes Monday. So
yeah, of course.
That post you saw was about, you know, it might be 20 hours ago now, and I'm fine. I'm thirsty.
Well, I fell off last night.
It was a painkiller you were trying.
Well, we went to the Royal, we ended up at the Royal Free.
Which is a lovely pub.
Yeah. It's that thing, isn't it, when you go to hospital where it's like you get assessed really quickly and it's like, oh, this is happening really, really quick. And I said, I would give you an X-ray, and I went to get an X-ray and said, and that happened really quick as well. I thought, this is just all happening really quick. And then go through to urgent care. And thought, oh, urgent care, that sounds urgent. That's going to be quick. And then you open up the door to the waiting room. There's just loads of people. But it was okay. They're perfectly nice people. And everyone was being very civil with each other and patient. And I got seen by a bloke who didn't seem particularly knowledgeable, really, bless him. But he was like, he could read an X-ray.
Yep.
And he said, I think you've got.
Could
a
he
tear.
See an X-ray? Because that's the impressive skill.
Yeah. He could. I was just a bit down, really. I was just a bit all over.
And yeah. Well,
I
apart
had a drink
from the actual thing,
for a few weeks,
you're just,
I mean, just
knocked back psychologically by the whole thing.
Yeah. It was like. It's the shape of my year, you know. It's been a big part of this year, and,
yeah.
You know, but we'll have to wait and see what happens in terms of recovery in the next 4 or 5 days. But you Google it, and it takes weeks for most people to recover from this.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not no different to anyone else. There might be things I can do to accelerate it, or I don't know. As I say, I think I might be able to run a little bit with it, but it's just the weight of that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You couldn't put that on now, could you?
No. It really, really hurt. And the idea of running 50 miles with it, you're going to really, really hurt yourself.
Yeah. It's like you say, it's about the...
You can't arrive broken to these things. That's
no,
the thing.
No.
You can arrive with little... You know, I've got a little niggle in my calf, I'll have to go slow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you can't arrive with like a tear in a muscle that you're going to be...
Using.
Because when you... Because I was really getting into the sort of pre... run rituals of taping my shoulders and all that kind of thing. You put loads of tape on your shoulders because they're under loads of stress.
Stop it rubbing and
it's like it's one of the key areas of trauma in the body that you're going to have in the marathon de Sable. So, oh god, so Helen's a nurse, isn't she? Helen Iverson.
Yeah, she'll fix it.
Yeah. I was going to message her.
She's a sexual health nurse, but no, why not?
Well, so you could have a bit of sex with your shoulder if you fancy. I mean, I don't know how you want to do it.
This is ideal. Your plan is ideal. that's sorted then.
Yeah. Just phone Helen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get her down.
Well, you know, if I don't go to Highgate Woods and get ambushed by dogs, I am running Brighton on Sunday, and I'm in the process of taking it easy. And generally, that is going to be difficult because it's the holidays. So taking it easy, my son's home, my wife's off work, and feeling a lot better, which is great.
Yeah, that's some celebration.
And,
celebration mode.
Celebration mode.
Yeah.
Except for one key ingredient. and I think that... I enjoyed our chat the other day. I think that I'm going to go really try and set off really steady and try and stay really strong all the way through and try and, do it, aim for about 3:55.
Yeah.
Which, you know, might well be ridiculous. I think if I have that aim and then get to 15, 16 miles and think, oh, as I have done in Brighton before, then I'll get there when I get there and it'll be a question of finishing.
Just have a drink, mate.
But there's a... And then
Do you know what?
It's a lovely place to go out, isn't it, Brighton?
It is a nice place.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah.
Is family coming down to see you?
Well, I was going to... I'm doing the gig, so I get accommodation on the Friday, and they very kindly sorted me out accommodation on the Saturday, and I kind of hoped that it might be just the same accommodation, two nights in the hotel related to the gig, but it's not. It's a second... Never go with a hippie to a second location.
Right.
That's Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock.
Right, yeah.
When Tina Fey makes friends with the Carrie Fisher. Never go with a hippie to a second location. So I go to a second location on the Saturday, which is a little bit of an unknown quantity.
Right.
It's accommodation with a friend of the gig rather than the hotel.
Ooh, okay.
So anyway, Julie was going to come down for the weekend and she was going to come down for the Saturday. And now she's looking at coming down to meet me and help me get home. But I've got to tell you, I would forgive her for going, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to not bother.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
You do that.
See what happens there.
Yeah.
Which would be a bit of a shame.
Yeah,
and I need to talk to you because, of course, I
nice
might.
To run to, it's nice it was, to run to people.
It was really good to record in a three. In I did a beginning, middle, and end records last time. Mm. Which is a good thing to do again, but I did do that before. Well, we'll have to talk about what to do there. I've got some ideas about that. Mm. But let's have a production meeting.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
Like he says, as if they do that. So, yeah.
I mean, I can't believe, as I say, I've been run over twice by dogs now because I was run over by them. During the pandemic as well, when I went running,
yeah. Were you hurt then?
Not as much. I didn't have a rucksack. I felt it. It was harsh, but I don't know whether it's some kind of karmic thing of what a pushover literally I am with dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like when me and Bill, like look at the way she's looking for something for me now. I mean, it's just like she constantly comes. She's the one that I'm the one she harasses for food.
Yeah.
When we go for a walk, I let her. Take me where she wants to go for a walk and we just follow her. I want it some kind of karmic visitation, you know.
It should be a reward.
Yeah, well you'd have thought so, yeah. But I don't know the hand of dog.
I was touched.
So it's been a little bit it's just weird, you know. I just don't know. I took a 2-hour bath this morning to try and loosen it up and it's just like because I can't put a t-shirt on. I've put this cardigan on, and you become one of those hospital people just wandering around hospital like waiting to get your prescription. Yeah. And I didn't realise the zip was halfway down. I'm just like walking around with like half my belly out in hospital, looking like some weird.
At least the zip was down at the front.
Yeah. Just looking like just one of those. You become one of those people.
Yeah,
you're just in hospital. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I actually like hospitals, but I don't like having to be treated.
No, it's funny, isn't it? And also, well, that's just that thing that when these things strike, like Julia's appendicitis, you have to change all your plans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, even like you say.
Bless her, how's she getting on?
Oh, she's a lot better. She's done the men now. You have to remind her, like, she just does loads of stuff for half a day and she's like, I'm tired now. And like, take some painkillers and sit down. But she's recovering really well.
Yeah.
But there's still, she has to go to the doctors and they change her bandages and things like that.
Right,
but
yeah,
she's so, awesome. She was saying, we were talking about it yesterday because she was saying it was like, it seems like it was a couple of days of excitement. But looking back, I was saying, yeah, it was this, this and this. It was 8 days.
Wow.
She woke up in intense pain. And the day when she was like, I feel myself again, was a straight 8 days later than that. And it was you know, she was not herself all of that time. Ooh, she was a brave patient.
That's a long time.
And she sorted herself out, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's like a little crazy window, a little hiatus from normal life.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When I hurt my wrist playing football, I don't know. I think
for a minute, I'm so relieved there, because for a minute there, I thought you were going to talk about your clackers.
No. When I hurt my wrist, I was playing football, 50-50, bad tackle, fell over, hit my wrist, came home, couldn't move it. Rachel just said, just put some peas on it. Just not bother about it at all. Just barely watching telly. Just put some peas on it. Just become a family joke. Get some peas on it. And I was driving up and down the motorway for 2 days, and I didn't realise it was broken. I mean, it was a broken wrist. I was just driving with one arm.
Yeah.
And I went, and I was just holding it like it's in a, you know, in a sling.
Yeah, naturally protected.
And someone said, you should really probably go, during gigs, you know, just holding your wrist like that.
Someone
said, you should maybe go to hospital about that. So I did. It was broken in two places.
Once in the football match and once when you went to the gig.
So
it's in two places, Jake.
It's become a bit of a joke. So yesterday I came in really hurting from my thing, with my shoulder. And you know, the race in jeopardy, the Marathon de Sable, and really feeling quite down. Rachel went to the beautician's for 3 hours. But she had it booked in, and that's fair enough.
She had it's expensive stuff.
But we had guests coming round for dinner. I had to do Papa's Bolognese with one arm. It's pretty tricky, man. You realise why you need two arms.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good system.
Had to get someone else in to dice the carrots, because I physically couldn't dice carrots with my...
Right. I'd say, you know, I don't want to be pessimistic, but if you can't dice carrots, I don't know if you can run a multi-stage 150-mile marathon.
But you don't have to dice carrots. That's all you have to do is...
I never suggested it.
The dicing of the carrots.
have done the running, but now it is time.
The dicing of the carrots. Qualify for the next stage.
Such a shame, just for the last day. You have completed. You have run 149 miles.
Unfortunately, the carrots. I cooked a decent bolognese.
It was a happy ending, though.
Came through with that one.
What do you think about this theory? You were saying about the karmic nature of the dogs and falling over there. I was just thinking the other day, I think that it's, you know, we talk a lot about plans and manifestos and what we're going to do. And also I think as humans, we kind of evolved to have wonderful ideas and ambitions, but to not quite be able to see the magnitude of them until you get to them. Whatever it is, I'm going to do the Marathon de Sable, I'm going to clear out the back bedroom.
And
then you dig into that job and you go, oh, this is a big job.
Yeah.
And I think that years have this, this is my new theory, you're going to love it, which is that we start the new year, we have big plans, and the whole world is quiet. Everyone's just making plans, they make a list, they buy a new diary, busy. And then it comes on, and basically, we're just like all the other species. Spring comes, things start to grow, and the things, all the seeds you planted start to grow, and you're like, whoa, this is good, this is, whoa, it's out of hand! And this is when things happen, do you know what I mean? Everything is just a bit much. Yeah. Life is just a bit much.
Years assume a shape that you had no idea beforehand, did you?
No.
Every year is completely different to the one you planned, but we still persist in doing it. But
old birth plan. That's what we wanted to do. That went out the window.
I mean, I need to look to the positives of it. It's like I have had 3 months of really good training, the best training I've had for years. Like really, really strong training. And I'm gonna if I can't do the marathon, so I'm going to try and work out whether I can run with a shoulder or not, and just try and keep some cardio fitness, you know. And have a decent track season.
Well, like
maybe,
you say,
maybe do an
ultra,
maybe just have to replace it, because there's obviously a book involved as well. I might need another event in the summer, you know. It's not really a great book. I was going to do the Marathon de Sable and I got run over by a couple of dogs in Highgate.
It's quite a fun ending, but it's quite short.
It is a fun ending, but it's, I don't know whether it's quite what the publishers have in mind.
Well, a lot of very cool people are doing the Race to the King in June,
and that's 100 kilometres, isn't it,
in one day?
But some people do it in two.
No, you can't do it in two.
Right, God help us.
You can do the Race to the Stones in two.
Yeah,
as you know.
Yeah, I was chatting to Julie today. She just thought it was a joke. We texted her yesterday. She just assumed the getting run over by dogs was just a huge joke.
April Fool's Day.
Yeah, of course. She said, "Really?
Did you think it when you were down? Someone's tricked me."
April Fool. That's what the owner of the dog actually said. April Fool. Bust your shoulder, April Fool. On my back, squealing.
I was on fire on April Fool's Day. Sorry,
did you have a good, one?
Yeah, because everyone was planning things and I kept riffing. I was just scatting.
Yeah, scatting.
Like my son put on a hot cross bun. I was like, oh, it's flames. Flames on the toaster. And he went, oh, it wasn't.
Yeah. April Fool.
April Fool. They hated me. I was giggling away.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no. I had a few, the computer's not working because that new virus in from North Korea. Oh, no, is it not? April Fool. Sorry, so Julie said, she didn't believe it.
Well,
Did she offer any constructive advice? She didn't believe it at first.
There was a lot of interest in the medication that they've given me, this codeine. Matt wants me to save some, so that was... so that was in the conversation. But she also said that... she suggested that maybe Race to the Stones could work book-wise. Could it, if I could get in shape for that after last year, after a couple of years ago when I pulled out halfway through, possibly.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Who knows, man? Let's just. What do you think I should do?
I think
just throwing myself out.
I think you're going to have to cancel, but I could be wrong. Could change. There's a 48-hour window here, but I think that it's just a question of getting used to the idea. I know you'd do it if you can, because that's where you were coming from anyway. But I think it's a huge challenge that involves peak physical fitness. And that's before you get to what you were saying about how it's a direct relationship with the backpack.
Yeah. Kind of always has been.
And you've got to a really good place with it.
Yeah.
But if you can't carry that, you can't do the thing.
No, you can't. No. No.
Yeah. Unless some kind of trolley.
You know, get someone else to do it for, like a red tartan trolley. Yeah,
like an old lady would have in the sand. Yeah, that's right.
It's really bad in the sand.
Oh, but they're like pram wheels. They don't work really all that well.
Do you like our completely unused Lumi recovery pod?
Yeah. Does anyone get any cold water therapy in there?
No.
Whose is it? Who's supposed to?
George bought it for me for Christmas, and I haven't used it yet. Because
you've set it up.
Because it hasn't been warm enough, and also I don't like cold water.
You're not supposed to wait till it's warm enough. Our friend Rob Rouse goes in the paddling pool every day.
Does he?
Yeah. Even if there's ice on it.
Wow.
It's just in and out, like a little therapy.
I've heard that's good for you.
And Julia's really missing her swimming in the pond. But it's a good time of year for that because, of course, she won't lose extra months from it from not acclimatising like she would if she'd had appendicitis in the middle of winter.
Yeah. That's a serious thing, appendicitis. It can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother...
But it's not a battle between being taken out by dogs and hurting your shoulder. You know, it's not. We're not saying one's more...
No,
more
I think appendicitis is hard, then. It's hard. Way harder, but it's just sort of that thing of like where injuries come from. Do you know what I mean? Because I've had quite a long time now not getting injured and being very attentive to little stresses and strains and doing my stretching. So I haven't done any strength stuff, but I've been stretching a fair bit and just feeling loads stronger. You feel your core get stronger when you're carrying that stuff for a while. You just feel yourself tight, everything tightening up and getting stronger.
Yeah.
And I was really feeling that. You just don't plan for, like, two dogs to suddenly barrel into you at a strange angle. There's nothing you can do about it. Some sort of chance divine intervention, you know.
Yeah, or canine intervention.
Canine divine, yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little canine intervention. No, it's interesting, isn't it? You're talking about the core thing.
Accidents.
It's the opposite. When you're training, you kind of train yourself to be... You want to be versatile and elastic, but also you kind of train yourself to be almost... I always come back to this concept when I feel like I'm being good at running, of being unimaginative. You're just going to run over there at that speed.
And that's
it, you know, and you're trying to... All the other stuff that happens in your head,
you're
trying to just damp down the voices, damp down the doubts, damp down the questions, the potentials for change, the variables. And the absolute chaos of life plays against that directly as you prove right now. Doing the park run on Saturday, classic example, because, you know, I was tired. Of course I'd drunk beer the day before.
Of course.
But I'd had a gig as well, you know, and I came back from Hungerford in the early hours, and it got to Saturday morning and I just got up early and went to park. I kind of didn't even have the bit where I thought I don't want to go. It's like, of course I'm going. Schlumped around, drank my coffee, got there, and I set off and I felt out of sorts, like my head wasn't in it, and I was and I did that I did that sort of tripping over and stuff. But I got it when I was doing it, coming round into like the fourth and fifth laps, and of course you got all those laps at Highbury to kind of relate to. I was thinking, coming to Parkrun whenever I can, it's the same kind of psychological marathon training as the old 5 minute plank. It's just you just do it.
You're just doing it. Yeah, that you just get so focused.
And when it's hard, it's great because that's practice at ignoring how hard it is.
Well, that's what I was constantly doing with this. You know, because you know, we've talked before about the long, long runs, and you know, I went out and ran. It ended up being like 6 hours 15 with that on my back.
Yeah.
And when you're 2 hours into that, you think, "Wow, this is gonna be really long."
Yeah, that's right. And then when you're 3/4 of the way into it,
yeah, and when you're 4.5 hours, you think, "I can do it. I can do this."
Yeah, yeah. You don't ask the question.
You just get into that yomping mode, don't you? I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I feel solid. You know.
I was talking to someone who doesn't run today. They were saying, "Is it difficult? Is it, you know, do you have to like?" It was interesting because she was asking about comedy as well. Sort of the things to the outside person, the reasonable questions, like, you know, how do you carry on when you're running? How do you face down an audience when you're doing a gig? It's like, it's not even a thing. You're just there. It's what you're doing. You know, And I think we're right to try and damp down our emotions. I mean, it's great. There's great cathartic. But I think actually, it's like. Who is it who said that, like some people who say don't seem emotional, but their emotions are sort of deep and rich. You're just not very accessible, you know. Because when you're running a big thing that's going to give you that emotional catharsis, you get it, but you ignore all the superficial stuff and you dig right down to the deep
stuff.
Yeah,
totally. It happens in and of itself, doesn't it? It just happens. And you don't have to go looking for it.
My parkrun record. You know, just literally, I was saying, you go to somebody, you think, I feel so strong, I'm really doing great, this is lovely, I've got fit now, this would be a great time. You go another day and think, well, I kind of see, my guts don't feel great, I kind of can't get in the moment, I'm really slow, look at that person, they're going much faster than me. And literally, the same speed
to the
second.
Yeah.
So all that thought about whether it was good or bad, it was just wasted, wasted head chat.
Just get on with it, just run, mate. Just run, but I'm excited for you for Brighton, man. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. You're gonna be doing a marathon, and hopefully my son George wants to do York.
Oh, nice.
So that'd be really.
Well, that's a story. That's an angle.
Yeah,
that'd be
a nice sort of angle, wouldn't it?
It's not time to make a change.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully I can
find a place, settle down.
George, which way do we go?
10 miles in, and there's my son. He's running faster, much faster than me.
He's pretty strong. He's a pretty strong kid. But
just set the dogs on him.
Next week we'll know. Next week we'll know more about what's happening with this.
Yes. Well, whatever happens, we will.
There'll be reports.
We too will talk again.
Yeah.
And
sorry to freak people out if people, because I know it sounds all really dramatic and stuff, but. It's part of the journey, isn't it? It's part of the course.
You've got to play the... We have to play the hand we're dealt. And sometimes there's a wild card.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's what you've got. Wild card.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully...
Because for a minute there, I thought you and Billy were going to act it out. I think it's too soon for that.
Hopefully, I'll still end up doing the event and this will be just a little obstacle.
A great
the way.
Chapter in the book.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. So we'll. You have to have hope. The thing with feathers, as Emily did.
Hope is the thing with feathers.
Yes.
But ideally, not feathers are attached to the kind of shoulder blade. And that's not ideal. I hope you haven't ruffled your feathers. What do you think? But I won't see you again before Brighton. Ignoring your current trauma, what should I take? What are you saying to me in my head? What's my Tonks mantra?
Well, I think you've sort of landed on it yourself, haven't you? With just keep running, isn't it? Just get in the zone and just have a run.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it, really. You know.
Yeah.
Run by feel, but it's that thing of you try to finish, not completely spent.
Yeah.
Aren't you? That's
the idea. With the end of it, realistic within reason, to feel as much like the start.
Obviously, you're not going to finish fresh. No point thinking.
No,
that.
I think I'll be tired.
Yeah. Of course, you'll be tired, but. You know that thinking where you've left it all out there? It's not really about that, is it? It's you're on the way somewhere else, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. And also, I've got this the third of three. Well, I might do it again, but it's the third of three. And the first one was really tough, like against all the odds. The second one was much less tough, but the finish was very tough.
Yeah.
So I'm on a very nice trajectory to earn that marathon, you know, to get to the one where I... And this one I finished feeling
feel
reasonably
okay.
strong.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what the weather's looking like?
I don't know yet. I need to look at it. That will make a difference. Particularly as it's hilly and by the sea, you know.
Yeah.
In a way.
It's going to be great, mate. Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's a wonderful event. Exciting. Looking forward to it. But, well, I'll tell you all about it next week, and we'll find out your news. Yeah. Hey, do you know what I've got here?
I fell over again. It was cats this time.
I can't. Cats for the left shoulder. I can't even look at carrots now. Just chopping carrots with my teeth.
Rachel's ignored me last week.
Yeah, do you want to go in, mate? Come on. Go on, then. We're doing some PBs.
Let Billy in, and we'll do the PBs.
Go on, then. You go in. Go in.
If you want to go in, you go in.
See, you've got to do the PBs. And now she'll just scratch because she wanted food. Now she'll just scratch.
Steve, play the PB thing. Quick, before Billy gets the food.
We have Emma Walker at Blenheim Palace. 5 miles.
Sound of 5 miles.
Nice. Faster every year. 46 minutes and 28 seconds. Well done, Emma.
Go, Emma.
John Lewis, he's doing well.
He's having a good season.
Really well. The way he manages to combine the...
Oh, there it is. don't, quick, stop. We're not going to do the joke.
Been a while since the last one, so he's pretty chuffed. Heslington Park run, 21 minutes and 17 seconds. Well done, John.
Superb. Jenny, another runner having a fantastic season. Brilliant. I reckon I could have pushed harder, but that can wait till after the marathon, she says. And she just picked up a 2 minute PB at Parkrun.
That's incredible.
I was running all weekend as well. She went out and did a long, long run on Sunday.
Wow. Okay.
And, and 2 minutes off any Parkrun time is a slice.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah, she's
so
super,
really
super
good.
Strong.
And classic thing someone else was saying, it might have been Nicola was saying, well done, it's lovely hoovering up those, getting those surprise victories.
Yeah, because you're so strong.
Surprise victory.
Secondary effects. Yeah, I got to fall over.
You got your PB, your fastest time from being upright to hitting the ground.
My shoulder got the
April
PB.
Fool.
That was Jenny Saw for 27 minutes, 36 seconds. Pete Winder. I mean, he's just away, isn't
Run
he?
Run like the winder.
He's away, yeah. Celebratory start for me.
Stout. That's my bad writing. Okay. He's doing that classic thing of running really fast, then drinking beer.
Right.
I love that.
Good for him. Good for him. Easing World Park Run. First in his age.
His daughter came second in her age group, so it was a good day for
and
the family.
He's away. 18 minutes and 57 seconds. Well run.
I think that's his first sub-19.
Yeah, that's great.
Sub-19. For goodness sake. Incredible
scenes.
A long
time ago for me, that. Mark Carter at the Gloucester Half.
A huge PB.
Yeah, done really well there. 58th out of 1,193 runners.
So what's that, top 5%? Yeah, top 5%.
Top 5%. 86 minutes and 16 seconds. Well done, Mark.
See, I didn't preempt that, but I knew that you were gonna pay the compliment to that time by doing it in minutes.
Right.
I think that's a sub-90-minute thing, and I'm sure Mark. Yeah. Mark also said it was lovely. It was a home gig, and there were loads of people he knew supporting.
Oh,
and
nice!
So that's
got
to help.
The difference,
right? And then Mark Boosie is our regular correspondent, good runner. His son Charlie. Did his 100th junior park.
Nice, well run, Charlie.
Join the 100 club. Not that 100 club. I've played that 100 club. Well done to everyone.
Yeah, that's great. And keep us in the loop. And very exciting time with spring marathons coming up.
Yeah, this is the time. If we can just stay
and me
on
doing the marathon to Sava, it'd be great. We'd have lots to talk about.
Could happen. Let's see what happens. Could happen. Yeah. He's warming up to ask me to go instead.
I can't put a T-shirt on. Rachel. Rachel's having a kip.
Just do it topless.
Rachel's literally asleep now.
Yeah. Well, she's tired from all your trauma.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.